Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Thursday, April the 19th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I've been spending a fair amount of time today focusing on the fact, Wendy, that on Saturday, Louise and I are going to Greenwich, Connecticut to hear Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks, presenting and receiving the information from Abraham. I'm looking forward to it.
That is pretty darn exciting. You're going to have an awesome time.
I think so, too. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Plus, also, we have an extra special incentive for going, because afterward, we're going to our favorite diner for the best Greek heroes you've ever had. So it's a wonderful combination.
Mm. Well, it would be the best Greek heroes I've ever had. I don't know that I've ever had one.
Oh, they're delicious. If you get it done right, the lamb is just cooked to perfection. It just basically falls off in your mouth, and it's full of flavor. And I don't remember what the name of the sauce is that they use, but it's just delicious. Absolutely delicious. Mm. So
it'll be a 1-2 punch. Your spirit and your heart will be completely energized and uplifted, and then you'll take care of your tummy and make sure that your taste palates are fully excited. It'll be a big day.
I could very seriously be sensory overload.
Well, good thing you'll have a little bit of time to unwind as you drive home.
Absolutely, yes.
You and Louise will probably have so many things to be talking about at that point.
I think we probably will. Yeah, I think we're going to have things to talk about for quite some time, too. So, yeah, it should be good. And we're hoping we're going to meet some new friends there, because obviously people who go to those events, you know, they're the kind of people you want to be friends with for the most part. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because some of the local, like the events that I've gone to when Abraham has been, I've gone to Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas. And of all of those, I definitely met a couple people, we just like never stayed in touch with. One of them was like, oh yeah, let's talk as soon as this is over. And a year later, we connected at another seminar.
Oh, it's nice how you were so, you know, prompt with the whole thing, right?
I know. And then, of course, my dear friend Clarissa, I met her on the Cancun cruise, and it was the same thing. Oh, yeah, we'll connect when we get home. And a year later, we connected at the Dallas event.
Well, you have, you know, a consistent track record. It's always a year later. So anybody who meets Wendy at an Abraham event and says, we're going to connect, you know it's going to happen a year later. You can count on it.
Really? At another Dallas workshop.
There you go.
So they're my dear friends. I mean, they're definitely part of my circle of positivity.
Absolutely. That's great. Actually, that ties in with what Joel and I were talking about today. We were talking about, he had posted something to the effect that if your circle of friends isn't your biggest set of cheerleaders, it's time to change your circle of friends. So we're talking about how to do it and when to do it. And you did that. You put together a terrific circle of friends.
I did. And I also have, like when I was in the Cancun one, I have a lot of people that from there I became Facebook friends with. So we stay in touch. You know, not that we talk about our individual lives, but we see each other's posts, and I still feel very connected to them, even though it's been a couple of years.
That's great. That's fantastic. Good. Yeah. So, yeah, something to look forward to. I wasn't really excited up until the last couple of days, but now I'm starting to get excited. Like, this is going to be fun. Hardly wait. Yeah, it's a good thing. So I've been kind of thinking about in the back of my mind today. So that's been keeping me going. How about you? What's going on?
Nice. Oh my gosh, so much has started to play out energetically for me since our show yesterday.
Mm.
'Cause today or yesterday I was talking about how I'd gotten an email from a potential new client, and it was unusual and it wasn't like the way I normally do things, but you know, I was really sensing just follow what feels good, and it felt good to like follow what this person's lead was. And so, I went to bed last night with an expectation that I'd have money in my account today, because the last thing he said was, okay, let me know how to pay you. And I sent him my link. And so this morning, what was really unusual was instead of him paying me, he kind of worked out some different terms for payment, which I'm like, okay, that seems reasonable. I'm willing to go with that. And so once again, I said something about, you know, you can pay me through this link. And I have been using PayPal for quite a while. And what I love about PayPal is it gives me a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So as I've changed my prices, I don't have to like redo a whole bunch of stuff because literally I just changed the link, and in the link I just put in the dollar amount.
Right, right.
And then when I do different packages with different people, I've been able to just adjust the price, and it's been really just easy peasy. Now, what's funny is at the very beginning of his and my email string, his first question was, you know, are you a life coach? Which I couldn't figure out why he was asking, but maybe because I said I was a law of attraction coach, he wanted to make sure life coaching was part of that.
That could be.
But the second one is, do you take credit cards? To which I said, yes, I do. And then like in one of my next emails, I said, I accept credit cards through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him my link. Well, he didn't pay at that time. He still had more questions. And so, you know, we'd been bouncing back and forth. And so at the very end, or what I thought would be the end today, when he kind of changed the terms that he would pay me so much now and so much later, which it's a large amount, so I was agreeable to that.
Mm-hmm.
When I sent my payment link again, this time he responds back and lets me know that paying through PayPal was not an option for him. And due to privacy things, I won't go into the reasons why, but they seem very legit to me.
Okay.
And so he said, well, something about like what other merchant account option is there that I had? And I'm like, well, how many merchant account options do most people have? Like you set yourself up for receiving payments with one system and that's what you got, you know? And I said, I like just sat with that going, I don't know what to do. So I thought, well, I know he said he wanted credit card payments, but, you know, he could send me money like a fund transfer from his bank to my bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is a Facebook option, but you have to use a debit card. So I threw those out and I was a little before sending the email, like something wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
But I did sense, go ahead and send the email. So mm-hmm. I did. And my thought was, okay, so what's up with this? And I really was sensing, you know, he'll take it from here. Like there's more information yet to come. And you don't have to provide everything because he's going to provide some information next. I'm like, okay. And all along throughout this whole exchange, it was really testing my willingness to be flexible, to stay in the moment, and any decision I made, line up with it before I commit to it. So even like him asking for a different payment arrangement than what I normally do, I didn't just say yes or no. I sat with that request and I just kind of said, how do I feel about it? And I went, well, you know, I said to myself, well, it's unusual. I said, you know, then I just kind of asked myself questions. I had a conversation with me and I knew that my infinite being was a part of the conversation. So the conversation went something like, how do I feel about this? And I went, well, I'm willing to be flexible. You know, there's no reason not to be. If I can do it, why not? I'm like, okay, well, is this going to set a precedence? And I went, and so what if it does?
Yeah.
And I went, okay. And at this point, I said, so are you okay with accepting his terms? And I thought, yes, I am. And so that's what allowed me to send that email. And then, you know, when the email was about, okay, my PayPal was not sufficient for him. Again, I had to sit with it and go, well, now what? And I didn't respond right away. I kind of walked away from my computer and kind of did a little bit of my day job work. And then I just had a sense. Open up his email again. And I reread it. And this time I came up with the two options. And then I was, you know, going, okay, can I send it? And it was like, doesn't feel quite right. And I went, okay, what do I change? And again, I'm having a communication between me and me. And the other me is my infinite being me. And yep. I really sense, go ahead and send it. Something's not, it's like everything's not quite complete, but you're okay to send the email. And so when I did, you know, I'm asking, and why would I send an email when it's not all complete? And I got, because you don't have all the answers, he's going to provide some information or data that you need next.
I'm that's okay. Fascinating, that part. I'm curious to see how that one's going to work out, because that's interesting.
Well, and so then he responded and he said something, because one of my things was I told him what bank I was at when I was suggesting the bank fund transfer. And so he said something like, you know, PayPal will definitely not work for me. You know, can I suggest or ask for you to set up a different merchant account, perhaps the one with your bank? That might be easy. And I thought, well, maybe. And what was interesting is I took a break before I got his email, and I went and chatted with my friend Keisha about it. And I said, can I just brainstorm with you? And so we kind of went back and forth. And what made it a fascinating discussion with her is she had like her points of view, things that she was like, ooh, that's a red flag. And I said, that's not a red flag to me. She goes, really? I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, she was saying like the way he was communicating just felt really off to her, like maybe something was odd about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? He sounds like all of the executives that I work with. And I've been working with him for 10 plus years. And I said, these executives don't know how to spell. They use incorrect grammar. They're so used to texting that when they write long sentences in email, they don't write the way you write normal grammatical sentences, et cetera. They're doing shortcuts. And she goes, yeah, but you know, like he wasn't answering all your questions. And I said, that's typical too. What I've learned, if I ask more than one question, I will only get one question answered. So I might ask three things of one of my executives that I work with, and I'll get a response to one of them.
Yeah, I've run into the same thing with clients who weren't executives of large companies that just ran small local businesses. They do the exact same thing.
Yeah, and I just said, I think this is just a typical communication thing.
Yeah.
I don't see it as a red flag at all. I just see it like, this is something I'm really used to, and part of how I live my life now is I tap into my infinite being, and I just ask my infinite being to help fill in the gaps. Like energetically, what is this person saying or asking or wanting? And it's kind of inconsequential to the actual words being used in the email. And so, you know, as Keisha and I were going back and forth, I said, no, this is not a flag. This is not a flag. And she had some other things. She goes, but then, you know, here's what I love about my relationship with her. She said, okay, let's just boil it all down to like, where do you think this is at? You know, what is it you're looking for? And I said, well, and she said, does it feel light to you to do a new merchant account? I said, yeah, it really does. Now, I've had merchant accounts in the past. And I said, yeah, it feels light, but there's a little piece that's kind of like rubbing me wrong. She goes, what's that? And I said, oh, my God, this thought is left over from my old belief about I'm part of working class and I have to save every penny. And I said, I have this don't waste money thing going on. Said, what do you mean?
I know what you mean.
About a year or so ago, I had set up a regular, meaning not a PayPal or a Square merchant account, one with a banking institution,
right,
where you could take, you know, every card. And when I did that, I, at the time, was launching a new product. And I was expecting it to be pretty big money because I think it was a precursor to where I am now. I think it was the desire for me to start on Project X, but I hadn't lined up the energy yet. I was just taking action. And so I had lined up this merchant account, and they told me it would be free for the first 6 months, which is why I'm like, well, shoot, what do I have to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I found out later when I start getting billed $5 a month from some other merchant account company that apparently is part of what they did, that the merchant account actual company has their own fees, but this third party company that I was going through, that's who I was getting my 6 months of free stuff with. But they never really explained, well, we work with these other companies and they have their fees. So,
which is par for the course. Whenever you're dealing with merchant account services, that's par for the course. So the one thing you can always count on is that there are more fees than they told you about, and you have to dig to find out what they are.
Well, and you know what? I hadn't done a merchant account process since I was a costume designer a gazillion years ago when there was nothing done online and it was a physical card swiper, you know, where you had the carbon copy thing.
Right, yeah.
And so that was a very different process back then. And so anyway, when I had this set up last year and I realized that the product that I had launched was kind of a bust, it didn't go anywhere, I went, you know what? I don't want to just pay $5 a month and then their fees are going to start in 6 months, when I could just tell I was being guided, take a step back. You'll get back in the game, but not right now. And so I canceled that whole account. And so that's what was in my mind today. Like, I don't know, am I even willing to commit to $5 a month?
I love the way the human mind works. It's just amazing.
And of course, as soon as I'm saying this to Keisha, like, I don't want to spend $5 a month if this is only going to be a one-time thing. And I looked at her, I said, oh my God, this is left over from my I'm poor thinking, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm a poor, wretched, you know, working class gal, and I'm never going to climb out of this status. And I'm like, really, Wendy, you don't think you can afford $5? And I'm like, yeah, but is it going to be ongoing? And what was interesting is, now I know I'm flipping back and forth, but when I was sitting in front of my computer reading the email from him, and I was contemplating opening a new merchant account, what came to me, like the first thought that came to me was, it's time to up-level. It's time to up-level your game. And when I said that to Keisha, she had all sorts of different ideas about, well, you know, are you saying that like only poor people use PayPal? And I'm like, well, yes and no.
Yeah, I get your point, yeah.
And I finally said, well, it's not that anybody who uses PayPal I think of as poor. But I said, people who I think of in terms of, you know, they're doing volume business and really big stuff, they use not PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
They use other, you know, merchant account systems. And I said, I feel like it's time to up-level my game. And it's time to play in that arena. And, you know, she asked me a couple more questions. And she's like, but Wendy, you can, you know, you have another client that just paid you a huge amount of money. And she's not, quote, wealthy, but she had no problem plunking up her credit card using PayPal and, you know, paid you a lot of money. I'm like, yeah. But I said, I'm moving to a new level. And she, again, you know, and I love that Keisha was resistant to where I was, and even maybe a little playing devil's advocate, because it was really helping give me clarity.
Mm.
And I said, I sense, you know, I get the words perceived value.
Yeah.
And people who play on a higher level financially think more in terms of perceived value. And maybe to somebody who wants to give me $30,000, they may have a perceived value of, she has a PayPal account, that's how I'm going to pay her, versus going online and, you know, kind of like you would go to any other vendor, like you go to Amazon or, you know, any big vendor, you would just, I don't know, that just has a different perceived value to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, in a way, I was trying to defend my point, but again, it brought me clarity because I said, you know, I personally do have a perceived value that a merchant account that's not PayPal has a higher perception for me. And really, all that matters is what's my perception.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, are you willing to change that perception? And I went, I don't want to. I feel okay with it because I really feel like I need to move forward with a new merchant account. And she's like, okay. And I mean, she doesn't have any skin in the game. She's like, Wendy, whatever you want, I'm just helping you to clarify. And it was a great discussion. So, okay, now I'll go take you back to, I go back to my computer. And I just stare at his request, you know, to create a new merchant account. And I was like, still not completely lined up with the energy yet. So I went back to my day job, doing my thing. And then all of a sudden, there was just this sense, okay, go back to his email. And I did. And I felt, just give him a very vague response, just so he knows you received his email. Mm-hmm. Because we've been doing really good keeping the conversation going back and forth. And I just said something like, setting up a merchant account takes time. I'll get back to you shortly. Or I'll get back to you. That's all I said. There was nothing with timing. I'll get back to you. And within about an hour, he responded and he said, okay, that'll be great.
And I have an idea for you.
All right, go for it.
A lot of people don't think about this, but PayPal actually has a program. I can't remember what it's called. You'd have to check with them because it's been a long time since I've seen it. But for like $20 a month, you can get a white label version of a PayPal account where it just looks like they're processing through a merchant account.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe after the show, we can talk about the details of that.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've looked at it, but I know they have it. And they have it for exactly this kind of purpose because of people who are kind of queasy about going through PayPal.
Well, yeah, okay. So that's cool. And I was even wondering, should I start researching merchant accounts? And I literally felt, wait, because Walt may have some insight. And it feels dumb to say that after the fact.
Oh, that's funny,
but
though.
But I think you know I don't make up stuff.
No, I know that.
I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. But the thing that I kept notating, and I know there were more comments in my conversation with Keisha that I'm not remembering the exactness of now, but I kept bumping up against what I was now labeling poor people thinking. And I went, oh my gosh, this poor people thinking has been so steeped in who I am that now that I've gotten rid of these belief systems, it's like these are like little twigs that just need to be moved out of the way. And remember yesterday, I was talking about how if more resistance shows up, it feels like it'll be so easy to remove it. It'll be like just flicking it. And that's how it felt to me today. I would uncover a poor people thinking and I flicked it away and I went, oh, that's so silly. That's not who I am today. That doesn't even, it doesn't resonate with who I am. Of course I can spend $5 a month. And my energy is now lined up for being in business and receiving large sums of money where my product that I was put out about a year plus ago, I wasn't lined up to it. It was more like I hoped and I crossed my fingers that people would respond and want to pay for what I was offering, but it didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But I'm in a very different energetic place now.
Very good.
And all of my poor people thinking and beliefs were still with me a year plus ago.
Well, I can actually tell you a story that's very similar to, you know, the same kind of theme, the poor person belief, right? Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the podcast. Last December, when I was shopping around trying to find the right new platform, because up until that point, I'd just been recording on my own and you know, just doing my own stuff, but it wasn't being broadcast. And I wanted to make it possible for people to listen while we're doing the podcast. And I also wanted to make it possible for people to call in for those situations where someone actually wanted to talk to us. And so that's what I was looking at.
Just to make it all clear, I think what I'm hearing is you used to record the show, but nobody could actually connect live.
Correct.
Everything was a pre-recording thing.
It was
right?
All pre-recorded. Yeah. Back when David and Joel were doing it with me, they would call me up and I had this little bit of software that I'd use to record the call. And that's how I made the podcast, but nobody else could listen in. And I wanted people to be able to listen and I wanted people to even be able to call in. And after a lot of research, I found that doing the call-in thing and doing the live thing was actually a much more difficult proposition than I originally thought. Long story short, it came down to, well, I figured out a solution using Spreaker, and Spreaker would cost me, I think it's like, I can't remember what the fees are. I think it's $19 a month for the Spreaker, and then the Zoom platform is like $15 a month or something like that. And I was thinking, wow, you know, $35 a month to do this? I don't know. Can I really afford that? And then it was the same kind of thing, like, well, this is exactly what you want to do. Why are you quibbling over $35 a month?
Oh, but you know what? I would have done the same thing. I totally would have done the same thing. Because, and really, I'm going to shift it from poor people energy to that's lackful thinking.
It is. It's exactly what it is. It's lackful thinking. And interesting thing about the lackful thinking, if I had stuck with that, we would not have hit a new goal today. Today, we had our 40,000th download.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
How about that?
Thank you for spending $35 a month.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It was worth every penny.
amazing.
Isn't that something? I almost forgot that one. But yeah, 40,000 we now have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's since November 2016. Yeah.
So really the thing that I just feel so amazed by is how I made such a huge shift from from some really big beliefs that did not support me, where I didn't feel like I could move out of the working class kind of environment because that's what I grew up in and that's all I knew, to, you know, this new belief that all that's required of me is to just choose what I want, line up with it, and law of attraction will deliver it to me. And I can break through the working class ceiling and already have in such a big way. And it's like, truly, the sky is the limit, or maybe there is no limit. But if I want, you know, 30,000 a month or 100,000 a month or a billion a month, it's all possible. All I have to do is line up with it. And as soon as my energy shifts, law of attraction responds. And, you know, I shifted the energy one day and this email came in the next day from a potential client. And it's like everything he's asking for is different than how I have done business in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And as I would feel, ooh, there's something different. I don't know if I like this. Instead of me going, ew, I don't know what to do, there was simultaneously this light, buoyant feeling of, you're moving on up. You're moving through some stuff. You have changed the energy. This is what you're now receiving. Well, maybe the old stuff that I had set in place was rigid. But you know what? I'm playing in a new arena. And there's just this sense of go along for the ride. No matter where it takes me, go along for the ride. And even last night, as I was, you know, pondering, ooh, this could be a really cool client. This could be something that's really fun and, you know, a good amount of money, and didn't even balk at me saying what my full price is. I didn't discount it. It was like, that was so exciting. And then as I was going to sleep, I thought, what if I never hear from him again? What if this just got me to this place, but it's all over? And I had the awareness of my doubting. And I said to myself, really? Do you really believe that? And I went, no, I really don't. I was just asking, what do I know about this situation? I went, well, I think I could pretty much guarantee that if I start second guessing if he's going to continue this conversation with me, if I start doubting that he's going to keep moving forward, I will kill this deal.
Mm-hmm.
He won't. I will. Because he'll pick up energetically that I'm not comfortable with this, or I'm bowing out. And he might go, well, I'll go find another coach. Well, who knows? Maybe he was on the fence thinking, I'll go find another coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel absolutely certain if I stayed in that doubtful space, I would have killed the deal.
Probably
and
so.
So instead, and I would say I caught it and I made a shift within 3 to 5 seconds.
That's good.
It took me longer to explain all this to you than it did
to actually do it, right?
Yeah. So about 3 to 5 seconds. And I said to myself, no, this is moving forward. And whatever happens, everything always works out for me. And I have shifted my energy and I'm doing all that I know to line up. And my real job right now is to maintain sensitivity to how I feel, because my feelings will help to guide me what's next. And so that's how I went to sleep last night, with a sense of, you know what? It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I woke up this morning, I happened to get up. Actually, I listened to the show with you and Joel this morning because I was up extra early today because I had some things I had to do for my day job that were earlier than normal. And I immediately checked my email and there was nothing from him yet. And so I went, no worry. It's all good. However long it takes, he's coming back. I know he is. Now, did I know that? Maybe not. But I was sensing this isn't over. That much I could tell. This isn't over. And I'm going to stay in a state of knowing that everything always works out for me. So it was probably maybe about 8:30 that I checked my email again. and he had now responded.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's when we started getting back into step today. But once again, I paid attention to how I felt. I noticed some doubt creeping in. And I went, oh, this is old stuff. This is how the old Wendy used to be.
Right.
And I flipped it away.
Yeah. I'm also remembering something, too. You tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought last week maybe it was, when you were dealing with some other doubts about it, wondering why stuff hadn't shown up and so forth, one of the things that you got as a message from your inner being was, you're going to need to be flexible. Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, but you put two things together that happened at different times.
I did. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The flexibility is what I was getting the last couple days. Like when I had just received my new belief, you know, that I can have anything I want so long as I choose it and line up with it. That's when I started to feel like what I really want to do is intensive projects with people where mm-hmm. I really help them get into their world, kind of like Super Nanny. That's the metaphor I was playing with yesterday.
Yeah,
that
I remember
model.
That, right. I just had the feeling you also brought up last week. It felt like it was a recurring theme. Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
However that goes, what I do know is I was sensing, be flexible, don't be rigid, just because I have had a certain way of doing things, you know, like let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are other possibilities that could like net bigger, better, and faster. And so I was like, okay, I'm willing to go there. And so I've been willing to throw away all of my preconceived ideas of how I thought business had to be done, which now, it's making me laugh. I'm looking over at my first book that I was a co-author, and the title is called Creating Business Beyond This Reality.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Which is all about doing things in an unconventional way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very unconventional, too. I mean, when your main business consultant is your inner being, that's not terribly conventional.
Good point. I like that.
It's true. It's very true. I mean, when was the last time you heard a report from Jeff Bezos at Amazon saying that he'd been consulting with his inner being, and here's what he was going to report to the stockholders?
Well, and I'm sure many business leaders do. They probably have just not stated it quite so eloquently. I might say I kind of go by an intuitive sense, you know, or whatever, but this journey is just so delightful. It feels like I'm opening a new gift every day. There's always something new to surprise and delight me. You know, even today when there was kind of like, uh-oh, he can't accept my PayPal. Uh-oh, what do we do now? You know, that felt like a little hiccup. And for a moment I went, what do I do? And I kind of got chill, you know, like, hey, chill, it's really all cool. You know, go bounce some ideas off of Keisha and, you know, you'll get some clarity. And I did.
And that's what's so cool.
And then
got this ongoing thing that you are so in touch with your other side. You have this ongoing conversation. I mean, I did make it a joke about having a business consulting relationship with your inner being, but it's really not a joke. It's fantastic, actually. It's really amazing just how much clarity you have, and well, it's a tribute to how well you're staying in alignment that you're continuing to get those messages, because as you found out, when you're out of alignment, then all of a sudden the messages stop. But that's not happened. Your messages are continuing.
Yeah, which is very, very cool.
Very cool.
So I'm, you know, I know that this is moving forward in a way that is quite exciting.
Mm.
And this is just like one of the first of many different things that are going to show up for me, but I don't expect this to be like, I have to hang my hat on this. Like this is everything.
Right.
Because there is so much more. Like I sense my pipeline is wide open.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing, even just with this particular issue that came up, is you're setting yourself up so that you're ready for the next client who comes along, who also has certain funny things in their mind about PayPal. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. There are a lot of people who feel funny about PayPal. It has nothing to do with how much money you've got. Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people who just get the willies about PayPal. There have been a number of people who've had bad experiences with PayPal, who, you know, made a payment and the payment got screwed up and this and that and the other thing. Oh, yeah. I mean, just Google it. Go Google PayPal sucks. You'll get an education, let me tell you.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, I just gave you one of my favorite search routines. Whenever I'm investigating, I have two things that I check on whenever I want to find out about a company. One is the name of the company sucks, and the other one, the name of the company scam. I learn all kinds of information that way.
Oh, my goodness. That's brilliant, really. That's quite brilliant.
It works. I mean, you can learn a whole lot of information about any venture you want to look into, any special product that you've been offered. You know, no matter what it is, you can find a wealth of information that way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Google
is one of my favorite. There's a lot of reasons that I understand that people are concerned about privacy with Google. I feel very much the same way. I actually feel even more so about privacy from the government, but that's another story. But the point is, despite those limitations, let me tell you, Google is one of the best things that ever happened to us. I mean, I know you're a good searcher too, so you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The ability of Google to give us, literally, if we can learn just how to frame the search phrases correctly, to give us whatever we're looking for is staggering. The amount of information we get from Google, if we really take the time to learn how to do it, is staggering. And it's really good information.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine today what it was like way back when I can't imagine because I was there. But
yeah,
now
me too,
the comparison of the days of encyclopedias and dictionaries and going to the library and finding periodicals and magazine articles, it's staggering how the world has changed by Googling.
So dramatically.
And I used to have like one file cabinet after another with tons of file folders on things that I had researched because I've always been a huge learner and a huge researcher and I love reference material. And this was probably 5 years ago or so, I started going through my file cabinet because I always, you know, I did a periodic purge and I started doing my purge. And my question was, I'd look at this folder, this data, and I'd say, okay, is this something you really need to hold on to? As in, how will you search for this information in the future? Would you want to come back to your file cabinet and look for it? Or would you Google it instead? And if I knew I was going to Google and Google would have more up-to-date information, boop, toss that folder.
Pretty much.
And before I was done, I think I got rid of like four whole drawers of file cabinet data. Like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very true. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people can complain about Google all they want to, and I'll probably chime in agreement on some of it. But guess what? Boy, that is one of the greatest blessings we've had during my lifetime.
I mean, not that I even want you to tell me, but I can't think of anything that would cause me to complain about Google. You probably know too many things, and that's why you
don't. I know far too many things. I know more than it's good for me, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. To me, it's Google, all good.
Yeah. 99% of the time, I agree. It's just really good. Really, really good. There's just so much there.
I mean, Keisha and I, like, if we go out to a restaurant, we'll be talking about some subject, and she or I will be thinking about some actor or actress, and we can't think of their name, but we remember the movie they were in or the song that they sang. You know, we're sitting at the restaurant table, and we're Googling, and we'll go, yeah, that's the person. Yeah, that's when that happened. And it's like, it helps to complete our conversations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Louise and I are watching some, you know, when she was into Downton Abbey, we'd be, you know, asking, well, geez, did they actually do that back in the 1910s? You know, we'd do a little search while we're watching the show. Oh, yeah, they used to do this. In fact, this and this happened. You
know? That's like I was watching this one new show. It's called For the People. It's a lawyer show. And one of the main characters, I'm like, she is so familiar to me, but her name doesn't mean anything. And they're like, who the heck is she? Where have I seen her before? And so I put her into, you know, Google. And sure enough, she had done this show. It was for Netflix only. And honestly, I hardly ever watch Netflix flicks. But this is the only series I ever watched on Netflix by just doing like a search of different things. And that's like, that's the girl. Oh my God, that's her.
Yep.
But it was like, if it weren't for Google, I wouldn't have known that.
Yep.
Like, yay!
In fact, I think it was just the other day, Louise discovered something because she's been a real Downton Abbey fan and waiting for the movie to come out and all that kind of stuff. And I've seen more than I really need to see, but I like the last part of it anyway. But point is that two of the characters The character Isabel Crawley and the character known as Mosley. Turns out the two actors who are involved there are now actually involved. They're romantically involved. So she's digging up all this stuff about the background of the people who are playing the characters on the show just by Googling this information.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, you had said to me at the top, right before we started the show, that what we were going to talk about in the Law of Attraction book was pretty much on the subject I wanted to talk about. And so I'm just kind of wondering, does it feel good to you to kind of jump in the book and have
that
be something that will kind of support what we're chatting about?
Actually, there's kind of a little funny backstory that goes along with this, because normally when we get ready to do these podcasts, the way the software works, I have to put in a title and description so that if someone's listening live, they can get a sense about what the show is about. And each day I normally draw information from the book, you know, saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. Except that the last few days, you show up and tell me like 3 minutes before we go, oh, by the way, I have this big update on Project X. It's like, okay, well, wipe all that. I'll start all over again. So today I did that once more, and now all of a sudden we're actually going to talk about the book.
See, it's all about being flexible.
It is. It's all about being flexible. Thank goodness that I can just retype this stuff. It's so easy. So just to remind everybody.
Or you can just add to it.
Well, that's true. Yes. Well, I should probably change. No, maybe I'll just keep it the way it is. It's a nice thing. I can decide later. I don't have to decide now. Anyway, the book we're
whatever
looking at
is... Whatever it is, make a decision.
That's right. I feel happy. Okay. The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham. That's the book we've been looking at. We haven't looked at in the last few days, but we've made a lot of progress over the last few months. We're up to part three, and we're in a subsection that's entitled, Could I Release Counterproductive Beliefs? Which... very coincidentally, as you pointed out, is exactly what you were talking about doing today, releasing those counterproductive beliefs. So do you want me to read it? Do you want to do the thing where we split read it? I mean, I can do it either way.
Let's do the split.
Okay, so I'll read Jerry. Jerry says, could people create in one particular desired direction, even though they've been led to believe by others that they're destined to create in a different direction?
And Abraham says, if their wanting is enough, they could. In other words, the mother we mentioned in the story earlier has taught by her society and by her own experience to believe that she could not pick up an automobile that weighed so much. Yet when her wanting was keen enough when her child was in jeopardy, she was able to do it. And so if the wanting is great enough, beliefs can be overridden. Beliefs are very powerful. And they are slow to change, but they can be changed. As you continue to reach for better and better feeling thoughts, you will find them and activate them, and the Law of Attraction will respond to them. And in time, your new life will reflect those changes in thought. If you hold to the idea that you can only believe the things that are currently based on factual evidence, then nothing can change for you. But when you understand that the refocusing of thought and the response of Law of Attraction to the new thought will bring new evidence, then you understand the power of deliberate creation.
That's it. That's it right there. You actually ran into a situation where a very old belief came back to haunt you, so to speak, about, I think you described it as the poor people belief, or is that what you said? Something like that.
And that lack of belief about money.
Yes, it was. And you had a choice. You could have treated that as being factual and irreversible and not to be trifled with, and you would have ended up in a completely different situation from the one that you're in right now, which is where this client is still on the hook and probably going to get reeled in. You probably would have lost the client if you'd stuck to that.
And
that's a pretty significant and even, dare I say, serious difference. Just that one thing, deciding whether or not you're going to buy into what the old belief told you, or deciding that you could shift the belief.
And I know I remember saying yesterday and the day before that the new belief, because my perception shift was so significant, would dwarf the old belief.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the old belief would show up in any form or fashion, it just didn't hold any density. It held no power. It was laughable. I mean, when I was chatting with Keisha earlier, you know, and I said, oh, my God, I'm feeling afraid of wasting $5 a month. And
I've
just looked at her and went, that's poor people thinking.
It is.
That was my old poor people thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. I said, I waste more money than that every month just on spoiled food in the refrigerator. But does that mean I'm going to say I'm never going to buy fruit or vegetables again because I'm afraid they're going to spoil?
Or even worse, does that mean that you're going to say that you'll never spoil food again? How would you possibly police that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I will. And that's just a natural part of life. And so, you know, it's, wow, that nickel and diming was just, it was just so powerful in my thought process because in a way I had to think in those terms. I mean, I remember back in college when my friend and I, he and I would go to the grocery store together and, you know, we had such limited funds from which to buy groceries or buy anything. I remember when we were so excited that we could buy Scott toilet tissue. It was like 50 cents a roll. And we knew how many sheets were on that roll and how long that would last us. And we felt so proud of ourselves because we had found a product that would last us a long time. Now, coincidentally, Scott, sorry if you belong to Scott business at all, it's like sandpaper and yep. It's really thin.
Yeah, it's just about the worst toilet paper ever invented, actually.
Just about the worst. But you know, when you're literally in the poor starving student category, that was a huge find for us. You know, and then when I knew I could afford a little bit more than 50 cents a roll and I started buying other products, I went, oh, this is soft. Wow. This is a whole different experience. And I'm like, and it's kind of worth it to spend just a few pennies more. I'm kind of liking this. But, you know,
they could have had you on a commercial.
That other kind of thinking was just so steeped in every part of my life that even now as I'm thinking about it, it's pretty darn amazing that I was able to make the kind of shift that I had, boom, literally overnight with a new belief that dwarfed the old one. And now when those old beliefs pop up, they are laughable to me.
Mm.
Truly laughable. And I guarantee you, because this is the hit I'm getting now, I guarantee you there are people who will be listening to this show and they'll say to themselves, but that's how I think.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have to because of the money that I make. That's all I can do.
I understand that one too. Yeah.
And so I mean it with no disrespect whatsoever, because you know what? 3 days ago, I was living in poor people thinking, but I didn't even realize that's what it was. That was my normal. That was my normal until I had this epiphany and this new awareness. And I realized, wait a minute, that's the energy I grew up with. But that's not the energy I want to grow with. I want something new.
Right.
I want to grow into something different. Something better, an improvement. I want it. And if I want it, I can have it as long as I do the vibrational work to line up with it. And I knew that was something I was willing to do. And I'm now doing it.
And for those people who are dealing with really rough financial situations, first of all, you have both of our sympathy because we've both been there. I spent a large portion of my life there, so I know it really well. And I want to assure you of something. If you're willing to just, you don't have to like ruin your budget, but if you're willing to just shift your thinking a little bit, you can start making little changes, just spending like a little penny here or a little penny there that make you feel better. And when you do that, it sets yourself up so that the next time you have another poor people moment, like Wendy was describing just now, you find another way to just open up a little bit more without breaking your bank. And the more that you end up doing that, the more you get to a place where it becomes easier to shift your thinking more regularly. That's what I found. Louise is the one who actually taught me that. She would like peel my fingernails off of whatever it was I was gripping onto just long enough to say, well, let's just, you know, it's only 5 cents. Let's spend the 5 cents. It's only a dollar. Let's just spend the dollar. And let's see how much better we feel when we do it. And she was right. Almost every time it felt better. And that feeling is what we're going after. That's the most important part of
all. And I like to play the game that when somebody is exhibiting what I want, I like to say out loud or under my breath, I'll have some of that.
That's nice.
I'll have some of that.
That's good.
Hey, universe, I'll have some of that. That's to my liking. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another something that I've used many times is if I see somebody has something that I want, I'll just ask the universe, how do we bring that into my life? Now, when I say how, I'm not saying I'm going to figure out how, but it's just kind of like, hey, I wonder how you, meaning my inner being, the universe, are going to come up with this. But mm-hmm. I want that. Yeah, I want that.
It makes me think.
I wonder how quickly. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes me think of a funny scene from a funny movie, a very famous scene that kind of ties in directly with what you're saying there. The movie When Harry Met Sally. There's a yeah. very famous scene where she fakes the orgasm to show him that you can actually fake it. And Bea Arthur's mm-hmm. character is looking off on the side. She says, I'll have what she's having.
And that's exactly the energy. That's exactly the thing that I'm talking about. Did you see somebody having what you want? And you go, I'll have some of that.
Yeah.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah.
You know, and not at all to put myself on a pedestal, but I know that I have shifted out of some energies that were no longer supporting me. If you like the sounds of what I'm talking about, say, I'll have some of what Wendy's got.
Mm-hmm.
I want to figure out how to get to where she is to have that.
Right.
And I tell you right now, simultaneously, I'm asking for more too. I don't want to stay where I am. I love where I am, but I'm eager for more. I'm going to continue to grow and expand and have more and be more and do more and play more because it's fun.
And this is where I remind myself, isn't abundance wonderful?
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's truly wonderful because this, what it really means is the more that we practice doing this, the more we get to have.
Yeah. You know, I right now, I think I told you that every time I'd get like a new phrase, I would write it on a post-it note and stick it on my bedroom wall until I went from like a couple post-it notes to like it almost looks like a new vision board with all these post-it notes. And a couple of them have fallen down. And to go get them, I have to move my nightstand, which is really heavy because it's got a slate top. So
oh,
it's
wow.
made out of some really sturdy stuff.
Yeah.
And so the first one that fell down was be happy, live happy. And
that's
then I got that one. I put it back on. And then the next day, that one fell off. And then so did another one fall off. And I didn't put them back on the wall because I thought, well, they'll probably just fall off. Their sticky adhesive is probably like got dog hair in it or something like that.
Yeah.
And just now, as we were talking, what came to me is the reason you're not putting those back up is because those don't support you anymore. It's like I've grown so much that I will get new phrases and new things to put up in their place to better reflect who I have now become.
Yeah, that's true. That is what happens. Over time, we grow, we improve, we get stronger, we develop our skills for attracting and so forth. And as we do, stuff that we used to do becomes less important and the new stuff that we take on becomes more important. Yeah.
I mean, like, be happy, live happy was the most exciting thing in the world to me when I got that probably 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just struggle to even say what it was to you. Because I feel like I've grown so far beyond that.
Mm. Nice 3 weeks,
and I don't know exactly. I don't know what's next, but I know more is on its way. And that's what I literally was just talking about. How I'm not going to stay where I am because I'm in a constant state of motion. And I don't know what's next, but I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because I've asked for a lot of goodies, you know, and they're ready to come. And I'm in a receiving mode so much more of the time that I'm open to receive. And it's like, woohoo, that's fun stuff.
You used a phrase yesterday. I want to find out if it holds true for this as well. The phrase you used was, well, it feels normal. I'm wondering, does this accelerated growth that you're on, this path that you're on, where everything's accelerating so quickly, does that feel normal?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
To me, it goes kind of with one of my other favorite phrases, which is I love to do things that come as natural to me as breathing.
Mm, yeah, sure.
And, you know, growing feels as natural to me as breathing. Making changes and shifts like I've been talking about feels as natural to me as breathing. Like, because this is who I am. It's not what I do. It's who I am. I am a continual, moving, growing being. That's who I am. And just like, because I'm a human, humans breathe. It's who humans are. And so it's a part of what happens. And so, you know, the things I'm talking about come as natural as breathing.
It reminds me a bit of one particular scene from the movie The Secret. There's one particular section where the movie shows a plant growing out of the ground, and they do it in fast motion photography. So you're seeing the little green spiky leaf coming out of the ground, poking its way out and waving around, and you're seeing the sun going by over and over and over again. So it's moving, you know, through the days pretty quickly. And the man's voice in the background says, "Plants don't have to effort in order to grow."
Hmm.
Boy, is that the truth. I mean,
that's
you don't
a
have to.
Reminder.
Yeah, you don't have to use effort. Isn't that cool? The only effort really is just remembering, you know, to bring yourself back to where you want to be and getting in alignment. If that's effort, okay. Well, that's pretty minimal effort compared to other things I've had to do in my life. I can tell you that.
Well, I think that it's the plant in The Secret is such a beautiful metaphor for the way it's supposed to be for us as humans. It's supposed to be effortless. And when we are efforting, to me, that's an indicator that we're not in alignment, that we haven't, that we don't have beliefs that really support the stuff we're doing. And the reason it feels like effort is because we're pushing against something, versus when we get ourselves into alignment, then when we take an action step, it feels, in my words, easy breezy. It's simple. There was no effort in it. I did it. It went well. And I continued on. Yay. Easy. I believe that's what we were born for. And that was what our intention was when we came, and we expected that. And then all of a sudden we got mixed up in life and listening to other people and getting involved in other people's energies, which, you know, it happens. It's not like we really make a conscious choice to do it. I think it just happens. And then if we were to be tapped into who we really are, we would turn in the direction of the things that we desire. But much of the time we had been trained away from that, so we forget how to do that. And now we're remembering. To me, that's what the show is about, is talking about what we're now remembering.
It's funny, too, because I never really think about it as remembering. I mean, it is, I suppose, but I don't remember forgetting it. So I mean, how do I treat it as remembering? It doesn't feel like it. And yet I guess it is.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. It doesn't feel like I remember it from before. So how can I be remembering? And yet on a bigger level, I believe we're remembering.
Well, now that we've touched a little bit on the book talking about counterproductive beliefs, maybe we do the next one too, because it also is about beliefs. And it's a short one too. Oh, no, we can't. We're down to less than 2 minutes, aren't we? Well, then we're going to have to save it. I'm glad I saw that. Otherwise, I would have gone over time, and boy, would I have had an editing job then. But that's okay. Actually, I really should take a moment to remind people, because I've been trying to remember to do this with, you know, at least most of the shows this week if I can. Most people who are listening are subscribers, and we love you for that. Thank you very much. For those of you who are relatively new to the podcast and haven't heard many of our episodes before, please take the time to subscribe. It's easy, particularly with your smartphone. Whether it's an iPhone or an Android, it doesn't matter. The instructions are right on the homepage, loatoday.net. And it takes like a couple minutes. It's really, really quick. And the beauty of it is when you subscribe, all of the episodes become instantly available to you. All you have to do is look at your podcast software and boom, there they are, anytime that you want to hear some. And that's what people do. They listen to us. You know, they listen on their way to work. They listen, you know, when they're driving in the car. They listen when they're out on a walk. They listen when they're doing the vacuuming. I mean, they listen when they're doing all kinds of stuff. One of our listeners listens on the tractor. He listens while he's listening, sitting on the tractor. I mean, it's so cool. How cool is that? You know?
And I had somebody tell me they like to listen while they're cooking.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. I liked it too.
So, yeah, please do subscribe and then share. All the share buttons are there too. And Wendy, how do people reach you?
They can reach me at wendydillard.com.
And we're going to reach you tomorrow because we want to hear more about what's going on with the ever-going saga of Project X. So you're going to tell us about it, right?
You got it.
All right. We hope you join us as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.